Business Matters is brought to you by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Print Supplies helps save your business time and money. Email sales at printsupplies.ie to find out more.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Later, I'll be finding out about new fully accredited online courses that will be delivered through the Atlantic Technological University as part of the Green Accelerator Skills Programme. Now, this is geared towards upskilling people as the construction sector experiences a transition to a low carbon future. But first, the focus of this week's programme is a Donegal-based company which has really found a gap in the market. Niche Specialist Staffing Partners, or Niche SSP as it is known, is essentially a recruitment company. Based in Donegal, it specialises in the recruitment of people in America. In the pre-construction sector, estimators, or as we would refer to them here, quantity surveyors. Well, Gareth McGlynn from Inch Island originally runs the company with his wife Kira from Derry, and it's been an interesting journey to say the least. Now, the name Gareth McGlynn may well be familiar to many of you. Yes, he is a Derry City Football Club legend, having had three spells at the club and made more than 350 appearances, scoring just shy of 50 goals. When he left school, there was no indication that the business route that Gareth would end up in was on the cards. There have been twists and turns, but now the company is really well established, is growing, and certainly has a very bright future ahead. So to hear more about what's going on at Niche SSP, I paid a visit to its offices in Bridgend. Well, I'm here with Gareth McGlynn in the offices of Niche Specialist Staffing Partners. Gareth, welcome along to Business Matters. You're going to tell us all about your company, the background, the journey to date, where you hope to go in the future. I'm going to just begin, though, by asking you just to explain what exactly is your business?
Yeah, so Niche SSP is a family-run business, myself and my wife. So we help the largest construction companies in the US hire estimators or pre-construction managers. Now, that's what they'd be known as in North America, but we would know them as quantity surveyors. So we don't, a lot of people think that we move people from Europe and Australasia to the US, but we don't. We move people within the US. Generally, the big cities, your California, your Chicago, New York, Boston, and we move them down to the southeast.
Now, as the name suggests for the company, this is a niche market.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know much about it when we left Ireland for Perth in 2011. But we've soon realised that there was a huge market, massive shortage of talent in North America. And we thought, you know what, if we can get into that market, we can own it, we can make a healthy business out of it.
So the day-to-day business, what exactly are you doing on the ground?
So put simply, we're headhunting. So we're headhunting through our brand, Niche SSP. We've been going since 2017. So we've got a good brand. We're well known in the US. We're the only specialist pre-construction and estimating recruitment firm in the US. So that, again, attracts clients and candidates to us. And then essentially we're like Cupid. We're matching up the best talent with the best companies.
Which begs the question, how did you discover this niche market?
Well, it kind of, when we left, myself and my wife, we left Ireland in 2011. We decided to go travel. We went to Australia. I wasn't familiar with recruitment, didn't realise it existed at the highest level. So white collar construction, oil and gas, IT, finance, we kind of touched on it all. And then when we left Australia and went to Manhattan in 2014, we spent 2 years there, and we quickly realised that construction, where the money is, and B, it's quite secure when it comes to recession. It's almost recession proof. It's deemed necessary through COVID, and that stood us well through the last 9-10 years.
So let's go back in time a little bit. You're from Donegal. We're talking here in Bridgend, but your family from just down the road.
leaving school, going to college, what was the career path at that stage?
At that stage, it was just about survival. I wasn't the smartest boy in the class, so I was just enjoying school, playing a bit of sport. My parents just said, listen, you can do whatever you want, but you got to get a degree first. So I was playing a bit of football at the time, went and got my degree, again, played a bit of sport after that. And then 2009, 2010, economy wasn't going great in Ireland. I thought, you know what, myself and my girlfriend at the time, I says, if we're going to travel, it's going to be now. I had done a bit of travelling previously through Australia and Cambodia and Thailand. My wife would have travelled a lot in the US, but I convinced her to go to Perth, Australia, because I thought it was a pretty affluent place, nice culture, nice people, nice climate. So we went down for a couple of years, but it was kind of still, even at that stage, I was playing a bit of football part time. I didn't really know what I wanted, to be honest with you. And then we fell into recruitment. It was getting into the corporate world. It was getting a visa when I was in Perth, which we did. And then it was quite competitive. It was sales, kind of very similar to sport. So I thought we would do quite well at it. And subsequently, we weren't bad at it. And we did it 2 years in Australia, 2 years in Manhattan, and then came back and started our own business.
And travel certainly broadens the mind, doesn't it?
It does. It opened up our eyes to what was out there. Living in the back end when there's 400 or 500 houses, there wasn't too much recruitment going on. So traveling just kind of broadened the scope of what was possible. At the time, it was all very localized recruitment. So we thought, even at that time, you didn't have to be in the geographical area to be able to service your clients with the right candidates. So it was always in the back of our mind that should it not work out in America, we could actually do this from Donegal.
So bring us back to the early days and starting off. The very beginning, the seed was planted. How were you going to set up this company?
Chris, we made an absolute pig's ear of it at the beginning. There's no question about it. We picked the wrong market. We picked the wrong geographical area. It was only until we kind of stumbled across a Leo in 2017 that we thought, you know what, we need help. So we did. We went and did the Start Your Business program with the local enterprise office. We did that. Then we asked for more support, just knowledge-based support more than anything. And then over the last 7-8 years, not only have they supported us with various services, they've obviously supported us as well when we're hiring people. So at the beginning, it was very difficult. I know they say that you make lots of mistakes, but it was almost dead in the water before it started, until the Leo helped us out.
So what market did you target initially?
So initially we went into Boston. So obviously I'd worked in New York. There was a non-compete from my previous company that I couldn't work the New York market. So we went into Boston, but we quickly realised that it was quite competitive, Boston. And then through a bit of research and through our clients and candidates, they suggested that you should move down to the southeast in what we would call the boom towns. So Charlotte, North Carolina, Tampa, Florida, Nashville, Tennessee, Austin, Texas. These towns that people my age now, mid-40s, young kids, you don't want to be sitting in a big concrete jungle. You want to be down, a little bit more space, bigger house, expat community. So that's what we did. We focused on that. And thank God we did, because it was slim pickings in Boston.
Now, explain to listeners who may not be au fait with the whole recruitment business and matching employers with potential employees, like, in a nutshell, how does it work?
Yeah, in its simplest form, is it's much easier when you become a specialist. So you can learn their trade, you can get involved in their community, you can understand what they're doing. That then helps you understand what they do and how good they are at it. Then you can speak to your clients at a much higher level, use a little bit of technical jargon. They appreciate the fact that we're specialists. So essentially, you're just matchmaking. That's in its simplest form, that's what it is. But when you stay within your lane, you can get extremely good at it. And I would almost consider ourselves consultants now at this stage. We're more than recruitment. Our clients ring us up for advice on everything from salary surveys, hiring trends, retention strategies. They ring us up morning, noon and night. And then that builds a relationship as well. So you're more trusted in that space then as well.
Ultimately, time is money, and if a firm is looking for staff and it can't get them, it's holding it back. So it's very important that when you're recruiting that you're getting people and you're getting them employed quickly, and that's really where you're excelling.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we always say to ourselves, our USPs is speed and quality. If you do not do or stay in your lane, then you end up diluting yourself and you're not getting the quality that the clients demand. We're quite expensive when it comes to recruitment, so with that expense, they expect the best. So it can get quite intense. Again, the American education system is not set up, believe it or not. They do not have a quantity surveying degree, so they have to almost fall into pre-construction and estimating. So we're helping the education, the universities, the college, the tech companies. It's a proper ecosystem that we're heavily involved in.
Now, you mentioned their pre-construction, so just want to elaborate on the term. You're dealing with people, let's just say they've got a project to maybe build an extension at a university or something like that. It's all about getting the costings right, knowing how you're going to budget ahead. So just elaborate on that.
Yeah, so let's take the big buzzword at the minute, AI. So obviously in America and around the world, and even in Ireland, they're building data centres, but they can't build them quick enough. Now, by building something very quick, you're obviously running the risk of it exploding out of budget and out of schedule. So estimators and pre-construction staff make sure that all costs are associated with and also the risk involved. So they can foresee problems, they can foresee risk of budgets doubling. For instance, the Children's Hospital in Dublin, I would love to have seen the cost management team or the estimators involved in that. That's basically the estimating team are there to ensure something that does not happen. So again, AI data centres, it's all about speed and quality, and you can't afford projects that are going to be, I mean, some of these projects are 1.3, 1.4 billion. So you can imagine if that doubles in cost, it can get out of control very, very quickly. So an estimator, all they do is they literally cost the project down to the plug sockets or the door handles. That's how detailed they get.
And for people who actually are estimators, how do they learn the skills themselves?
Yeah, so they upskill themselves. They'd usually do a civil, electrical, mechanical engineering degree or a construction management degree or a civil engineering degree. Once they do that, then they've got maybe three or four departments within a construction company they can go down. They can go down superintendent, safety, project management, and then pre-construction and estimating. Not a lot of people like pre-construction and estimating, because if an estimator costs a project and it's a project you're competing with four other general contractors and you're low on the bid and you forget something, then, and you tell a client, right, this project's going to cost $1 billion, but you've forgotten, for instance, a parking deck. If then that parking deck is worth $3 or $4 million and they forgot about it, then they're on the hook for that $3 or $4 million. So it's very competitive, it's very detailed, and if they get it wrong, it can cost the companies millions. So that's why the best estimators are highly sought after.
And the estimators themselves, I take it there are different levels. I mean, there's going to be guys with maybe limited experience at the lower level, but at the top end, you know, these guys, a percentage here or there on a project can be hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, absolutely. They probably, even a project as big as a data centre, they need to be within 2 or 3% of the actual cost come the end of it. When you think about the Children's Hospital almost blowing 100%, that's what you're up against. But you're right. So the really experienced guys with 20, 25 years experience, they're highly sought after. So it's a highly competitive market. So if we do get a candidate at that level, they can earn up to 300,000-400,000. So then we place them with our clients, and then of course our clients are delighted with that. They've got a highly skilled estimator in their ranks, and then that reduces their risk on all the projects going forward.
So just delving into it more, do you have a database of qualified estimators who are on the lookout for a new job?
So again, like any industry, the best people in the industry are passive, so they're in a job already. The people out of a job are out of a job for a reason. They've done something wrong, they've been sacked, or they've been let go. So passive candidates is where we make our money. Relocating a lot of people is a big part of our business. So again, California, New York, Boston, down to the southeast, maybe to a better climate, maybe they're moving because of family reasons, we would relocate them down there. And essentially what we would do is open up our network. to the candidate, and then let them make the decision on the best companies. But database wise, we've got a huge CRM. You're talking between that and LinkedIn, you're talking 250,000 estimators across the US. So it's hard kind of servicing everyone, but we try and work with the top 10%, which our clients appreciate.
Now, I'm curious, just at the very beginning, when you were starting off, how did you get those first and initial contracts and sales and that first little bit of money coming through? Where did you go?
Yeah, it's always difficult. Even you hear of a lot of companies in Ireland, the UK, trying to break the US market. They find it difficult. I think it's a crazy percentage of 67% of them fail when they try and break into the US. We were very conscious that we were going to be a product-driven business. We were going to let our product kind of tell the story of how we were going to work. So we were highly focused on the candidate side. That's against the norm of traditional recruitment. So traditional recruitment would go to the client, would qualify the job, ask them what they're looking for it, and would then go out and find it. But we found that with a candidate-shy market, if we went and got the candidate, the product, then delivered it to our clients would have no option but to sign us up. And then once they began, got to know us, then they would keep working with us. A couple of other things helped really well. So we've got our own podcast. It's called the Pre-Construction Podcast. That helped us get the higher ranks thought leaders within pre-construction. So I would bring them on, interview them, talk to them about their success stories, and then again, the next generation would listen to that and upskill themselves. We then started the Pre-Construction First community, which is a vetted private area where all the VPs and directors of the best construction companies in the US would come and share stories, and talk about technology, talk about hiring trends, talk about retention strategies. So we control that as well. So there's small, small additional stuff that has helped our brand be the standout one in the US.
Now, just the business model, how exactly do you make money? Is it a percentage or a fixed fee on each person that's recruited, or what exactly are you doing there?
Yeah, so it's very simple. It's 25% of the first year's annual salary. So if we place a candidate with a firm and they earn 100,000, we would charge our client 25% of that. Very simple, straightforward. Generally, recruitment, you're talking anywhere between 15 and 20%. But because we are so specialist and we're dealing with white collar, important people within construction companies, we can afford to charge a little bit more.
I'm no doubt over the years you're getting a lot of repeat business and you've built up a rapport with a number of big companies.
Yeah, well, I think that's the key, Chris. I mean, to think of your reputation in such a small market, it has to be of ethically that the highest it can be. So repeat business is a massive part of our business. It's to hold 80-20. We do 80% of our business with 20% of our clients. And there are people that don't use us because we're too expensive, and that's fine. But they, in turn, would struggle to get the best people because we're dealing with a lot of the passive candidates.
Yeah. And the construction sector in the States, I mean, it's worth billions and billions. So, you know, people might wonder, you're operating here from Donegal, but it's just such a massive market.
It's a massive market, yeah, but you'd be surprised. I think that's a big thing. When I went traveling to Australia and New York, I think that's the biggest kind of aha moment that I realised that people from Ireland are always kind of, they don't back themselves. I mean, I went down to a sales floor of 50 odd people in New York, and I went down there going, how am I going to survive here? But Irish people are humble. They're not the loudest in the room, but we're hardworking. We get the job done, and generally we're good at building relationships. So that stands to us. But then, I mean, you're only literally a flight, a 7-8 hour flight over to the US. The company goes over once a year. I would go over twice a year to various conferences. We'd hold golf events. We'd speak at conferences. So it can be done. There's probably people out there listening has a product or a service thinking, I would love to get involved in the US market. All I would say would be, go for it.
You're listening to Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore. I'm speaking with Gareth McGlynn from the recruitment firm Niche SSP, which has carved out a lucrative business in the United States, even though it's based here in Donegal. Join us again after this break.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Principalize Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? PrincePlace keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. PrincePlace helps save your business time and money.
Welcome back to Business Matters with me, Chris Ashmore. My guest is Gareth McGlynn of the award-winning recruitment firm Niche SSP, which is going from strength to strength as it deals with its customer base in the United States from its offices here in Bridgend in Donegal. Well, Gareth McGlynn remains a Derry City Football Club legend and retains a keen interest in the game. But it is in business that he is really scoring now, and he does so also using the Pre-Construction podcast, which can have references to football or soccer, as the Americans would refer to. Well, coming up, we'll hear about the early days for the company, the employment opportunities with it as it continues to grow, and plans for the future.
So when you started up the early days, you spent some time in the co-lab in the ATU in Letterkenny. The company grew. We're now in Bridgend. So tell us the process that led us to be here.
Yeah, we'll have to see. It was a local enterprise office put us on the patsy in the co-lab. They were brilliant. I mean, Brenda Hegarty and Grace Corbell have been outstanding for us. They really have. They've got us involved in awards. We represented the Donegal and the Ireland's Best Young Entrepreneur. We then went to the Enterprise Awards most recently and won the regional. That wouldn't have been possible without the local enterprise office. So they put us in touch with Patsy. We outgrew that area, and then we were looking for something down around the border. I'm from Inch, obviously. My wife's from Derry. So we needed something down around here, in between both McGee University and LYIT at the time. So we found the Bridgend, good parking, the gaps across the street. You can't beat it, and we've got ample space, which is great.
And tell us about the team here. They're working in the background as we sit here. So all the communication is with the States.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all done over email, LinkedIn, phone. There's 9 sales consultants here now working away. What happens is we bring people in. We allow them to use the brand. We give them a geographical area. Generally, it's a state in the US. And they go and run their own profit and loss within that state. So it's quite entrepreneurial what we do. There's obviously loads of training and development. We support them with the best technology. We've got CRMs, we've got communication tools that they can use, but essentially it's up to the consultants to make themselves and the company as much money as they can. So it's a really, really open environment. Everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing, when they're doing it. It's a good team spirit. And at the end of the day, it's about servicing our clients in the US, and they seem to do really, really well over the phone. And the old Irish accent doesn't helps as well.
And by specialising, you know, maybe a couple of states, as you've mentioned, that gives them that, I suppose, that knowledge of that area and more expertise.
Yeah, it's the control. That's what the control is, Chris. When a candidate rings us and they're in Boston and they want to relocate to Nashville, Tennessee, or Austin, Texas, or Charlotte, North Carolina, the consultants have got to be able to talk about it at a real high level. Not only technically about the companies that they're representing them to, but also about the school district, where they should live, why they should live there, the cost of property, real estate. We like to think it's white collar service, and the people that you're dealing with are smart, logical people. That's what we enjoy most about it. They expect a certain service, and we try and deliver it.
So at the beginning, it was yourself and Kira both working. So taking on the first employee, that would have been a big step.
Yeah, it is. It's scary. Yeah. Scary at the end of the month when you have to shell out X amount of wages. But it's all part and process. I think we were very conscious of doing it properly. I mean, we were offered kind of investors and different things, but we wanted to grow it organically. There's 9 of us here now. We're probably going to take on 4 more come September. We're probably going to get to about 15, 16 by mid next year. Hopefully revenues will increase from 3 million to about 5 million in that time frame. So it's a great opportunity for people. One of the big things that we did when we left in 2011, there wasn't a lot of high income jobs in the Northwest. We had to go to Belfast, we had to go to Dublin, we obviously went to Australia and we went to Manhattan. So we were conscious that when we came back, we want to give people the opportunity to put in the work, but have high income jobs working in the States with big companies, big projects, big fees. And they can take home decent salaries. So we're conscious of that, and we're delighted that some of the employees here are thriving on it.
Do you do any cold calling?
Yeah, it's the dreaded cold call. Thankfully not, because the brand's so strong now. At the beginning, don't get me wrong, when it was me up in my bedroom making phone calls, it was there was a bit of that involved. But after probably the second, third year, the brand started to get stronger. And there's a lot of cross-business, repeat business. There's a lot of cross-selling between the different states. The clients have offices in all our different states anyway. The problem we have now, and as I said, why I'm looking to bring on four more people, is our clients are demanding our services, and we don't have enough consultants here in Bajan. So if there's anybody listening, they're hungry, they don't have to have a degree, all training and development is done on site. We will give anybody a chance to come in here, give them a base salary, but more importantly, give them uncapped commission and the opportunity to earn their base salary again, if not more.
Now, one of the things that you pride yourself on, and it's on the website, is the fact that you are able to get people employed with companies in a shorter space of time than maybe through other recruitment agencies as such. So what is the secret there?
It's just to focus. That's what it is. It's staying in your swim lane. There's a lot of other agencies. And when I say agencies, these are the biggest companies in the world trying to compete with us. We can't compete with them as a generalist recruitment company. We have to specialise and try and own a space. And that's what we do. I work with Hayes, Kira work with S3, I work with Robert Walters. They're the biggest, probably three or four in the world. They're doing 6 to 10 billion a year revenue. We had to focus, and you're seeing that now. Our revenue's been pretty consistent, whereas the big boys are kind of declining. So the smaller boutique specialist recruitment agencies are servicing the clients much better than the big boys or the big generalists.
And what about if we're going through a period, as we are now, when there's a bit of economic uncertainty due to global events? Is your sector affected much by this, or is it a fairly safe area?
Yeah, well, again, 2017, we were going to go into pharma, we were going to go into IT. We decided construction because of its kind of rigid, less volatile, it's almost recession-proof, so it's proven that now. Thankfully, construction's strong. It always jumps, so for a stage there, multifamily was huge. They were building family homes, apartments in the US for 5-6 years. That has slowed down. We've now looked on the data centres. We're now in healthcare, life sciences. So every sector has its time. And then, of course, what happens is the public, the administration gets involved in and builds roads and bridges and upkeeps the schools, for instance. So there's always something to build. Put it this way, there's probably not enough people in the US to build the projects, the schools, the houses, the hospitals, the hotels needed to accommodate the people over the next 2 decades. So it's healthy, thank God.
And are you tempted to look at Europe or Britain or Ireland?
Yeah, I think Canada is going to be our next venture. I think Canada is the natural progression of the company. We've already got clients that are asking us to move up to Canada, but we're very conscious of being staffed enough to be able to service Canada. But I think that's going to be the next one. There's obviously, we're in about 25 states right now in the US. We probably want to get up to about 28. Once we hit the 28, then we'll move into Canada.
So say I'm the owner of a construction firm in Idaho, and maybe I've even come across you just Googling, and I need to get on board a few people from the pre-construction side. When I contact you first, I may not even be aware that I'm speaking to somebody here in Bridgend, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We have a satellite office in New York that we use when we're over there. We've got everyone here now in Bridgend, but we always be upfront and honest with them when we say, listen, whatever about where we're at, we're going to deliver you the best service and the best people. And once they hear that and we give them a taste of the people that we represent, then they don't care. At the end of the day, we can be anywhere in the world as long as we're delivering the proper service, they're happy.
And what about the time zone? Is that actually an advantage at times that you can be working here while they're asleep over there?
That's it, 100%. I mean, that was a problem. Not a problem, that was something that we discussed very early on. Were we going to stick with the time zone in America? So were we going to start people working here at 12 o'clock, finish at 7 o'clock? But we decided to stick with the 9 to 5 because when we're working, they're sleeping. When we're at night, whenever the consultants are at home, they make a few phone calls at home, especially if it means making money. So we've the consultants work hard, but they get rewarded for it as well.
So what is your main role now? Is it driving the business forward? I mean, with staff to look after as well. I suppose what you're doing now has changed from what you did at the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm completely removed now from the day-to-days of sales and on the phones. I still do a lot of the client stuff. Mine would be more the podcast, the community, the events that we run twice a year in the US, and then operationally. The world is moving so quick, you got to be on top of the best tech to use to give the consultants to make sure that they have the tools to do the job. So that's my job at the minute. Kira would be the top salesperson within the business, so she still does the sales side of it, which she enjoys. So it worked quite well.
And in many ways, this is a great example of how a business can be based in Donegal that is operating in other parts of the world.
Yeah, we'll have to say that's what the Enterprise Awards showed us. We were up in the Mansion House not so long ago. The amount of incredible businesses doing, exporting their product or their service all over the world. I mean, it's incredible. And it's thanks to the local enterprise office, let's be honest. Don't get me wrong, we came up with the idea, but unless you have the support to deliver and carry out the idea, it can be really lonely and it can be really difficult. So again, shout out to the local enterprise office, but there's some of the businesses you wouldn't even know, even in Donegal, that are selling products all over the world. It's incredible.
And on that point, I take it you'd be fairly positive in your outlook for Donegal. There's always going to be challenges. We're a little bit geographically isolated, but there's new opportunities all the time.
Absolutely. You see now what's happening in the Northwest, in Derry and Letterkenny. They're working together now, whereas before they would have been very much hands-off and saw each other as possible competitors. But you see the local enterprise office, Invest Northern Ireland, they're working together now to benefit the Northwest. We have to create our own economy in the Northwest. You can see what E&I Engineering was doing, Philip O'Doherty. Like some of the businesses in Donegal alone are world renowned, and that's what we want.
Now tell me about AI, because in your sector in particular, if people are projecting the costs of a project and you're going to have the advantage of AI maybe assisting you in your projections, that's going to play a big part.
Massive. We run monthly webinars now with the biggest pre-construction estimating technology firms. So they deliver webinars to, I'm the host of it, to our community. But it's changing, and it's even changing for us, never mind the construction companies. So you have to keep on top of it. Now, there's kind of a hallucination that happens with AI, that happens in every industry. So obviously everyone's skeptical, but when used in the right manner, it can be incredibly powerful. And it's like technology, and construction would have this reputation of being behind the times compared to IT or the finance world. So we're just catching up now, but it's exciting at the same time. And the companies that are embracing it, they're making a killing.
And the working hours here, are you pretty much Monday to Friday?
Monday to Friday, 9 to 5 Monday, 11 to 5 on a Tuesday, 9 to 5 Wednesday, Thursday, and then we finish at 3 on a Friday.
And when you finish, how do you unwind?
I had kids. I've an 8 and a 10-year-old, bit of kids, bit of golf, bit of entertaining at home. I've got plenty of things to keep my mind off it, trust me.
And that was Gareth McGlynn, Managing Director and Partner and Co-Founder at the award-winning recruitment firm Niche SSP, whose accolades include being overall winners of the Donegal Enterprise Awards in 2025. And recently, Gareth and his wife Kira won the Northwest Regional Award at the National Enterprise Awards in Dublin. The construction sector is central to the transition to a low-carbon future, creating growing demand for skills in sustainable construction, digital technologies and resource efficiencies. To help to meet this challenge, Atlantic Technological University has now launched its first suite of fully funded, accredited online programs, and these are being delivered through the Green Accelerator Skills Program. And it's hoped that this can equip something in the region of maybe 2,000 people with the green skills needed to support a more sustainable, productive and low carbon built environment. Louise Parks is the project officer for the Green Accelerator Skills Programme with ATU, and she's joined me to tell me a little bit more. Louise, lots of terms here that people may not be overly familiar with, so perhaps you can explain to us what exactly this Green Accelerator Skills Programme is all about and the courses that are going to be on offer and how one can find out more.
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for having us on your show. So the program is called GRASP, and as you've explained, it's an acronym for Green Accelerator Skills Program. This is a project funded by Peace Plus, and it's managed by the Special EU Programs Body. So the program is working with education providers and industry partners across Ireland and Northern Ireland, and the aim is, again, to equip 2,000 learners over the project lifecycle. So this project is live until early 2029, and ATU are one of several providers in the region. The eligible region is Northern Ireland and the border counties. So learners in this region who are over 16, and either if you live in the region or if you are working for an employer who is based there, these courses are fully funded. So it's a fantastic opportunity. And the border counties include Donegal, Sligo, Leitrim, Cavan, Monaghan and Louth. The course providers and the education trainers vary considerably. So there's lots on offer at all different ranges. Programs include retrofit for domestic or passive house design, air source, heat pump installation and maintenance, and then through to digital construction tools and green skills for secondary school outreach and across the construction industry. The training is offered at no cost to participants, subject to the eligibility, and it's really to upskill workers already in the construction industry or to entice new learners into this industry. So there's lots on offer, and again, throughout the life cycle, you'll find several different courses and providers. All that information is on the general graspproject.com website. And today I'll talk a little bit more about the courses that ATU are providing fully online. They're fully flexible and fully funded to eligible learners in that region.
Now, obviously, there's going to be a lot of new jobs tied in with this whole sector. You mentioned there retrofitting. We see everywhere we go, there seems to be solar panels going up. There's a lot happening. There's going to be changes to the way we build our homes and our factories and all sorts of buildings. So for somebody who's maybe interested in going down this line, is this geared towards people who are maybe already in the sector, or is it geared towards people who might be thinking of going into it, or a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, to be honest, yeah. We definitely want to target new learners to welcome them into the industry, and at different levels, there's courses and training provided for everyone. At ATU, our level certificates range from a level 7 certificate through to level 9. So the suite of courses that are available that we will launch in September are for people potentially already working in the industry with some level of knowledge and want to progress their career or upskill for themselves or upskill their workforce through this GRASP program and funding that's available.
Now, I see there are 4 different certificates for different courses. So maybe you can tell me a little bit about the courses that are on offer, and they're all, as you say, online.
Yeah, absolutely. So the courses at ATU are all open for application currently. We will start the first 4 courses in September. The information, applications and project details are at atu.ie/GRASP, that's G-R-A-S-P. And the 4 courses, the first one is digital construction technology. They're all online, part-time delivered, and this course is 1 year. So for our Republic of Ireland framework, it's a level 7, and in Northern Ireland, it's a level 5 certificate. And these courses are delivered in the evening, so it suits people that are already working and have commitments. And if you join your online lecture in the evening, or the lecture is available, a recording is available after. So it's very flexible and ideal for construction professionals. This particular course, the digital construction technology, is very popular, and it's for professionals looking to upskill in BIM, in building information modeling, digital surveying, and construction technology. So students gain hands-on experience with industry standard software, including Autodesk, Revit, Civil 3D, and BIM 360. So this is aimed at people working in the construction industry currently. The next certificate, again, this is available online part-time. It's one semester, level 9 in Ireland and level 7 in Northern Ireland. This is the circular economy principles for the built environment. So students explore circular economy principles, sustainable construction, resource efficiency, and low carbon design. Again, giving those skills for knowledge to drive more sustainable practices across the built environment sector. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, these are particularly important in this current climate. And it's just a really good certificate to have for the built environment. And then there's two lean construction courses, which is particularly exciting for ATU. This is a major milestone for us, in that this is the launch of Ireland's first higher education accredited lean construction programs. So we have so the certificate in lean construction yellow belt and the certificate in lean construction green belt. And these courses were developed in collaboration with Lean Construction Ireland. So these are extremely popular and in demand courses. They combine internationally recognized lean principles with higher education accreditation, providing construction professionals with practical skills and knowledge to improve construction productivity, reduce waste, and drive continuous improvement. Again, the yellow belt is a introduction, and it's a one semester. So this certificate is a practical industry-focused program designed to equip construction professionals with the fundamentals of lean design, of lean construction. And then the green belt, that's a one-year part-time online course, and it's an advanced program designed for construction professionals who want to lead continuous improvement initiatives across the built environment sector.
There's a considerable amount of money being invested in this. Places are limited, so I take it the advice will be to get your applications in early.
Absolutely. Again, the GRASP skills program is a 9.8 million cross-border funded program. This is the first time for ATU to be involved in GRASP and to launch these courses. This is the first online fully funded courses. And starting in September, we do encourage people to apply for those places now. So we have, again, through our website, atu.ie/GRASP, the four courses are linked. Each course has its landing page with the Apply Now button. There's a full admissions team and support in there to help learners to get through the application online process. And there's different ways of meeting the requirements. So if you have the education requirement, that's one way of going through it. Or maybe you have work experience. And that needs to be assessed. There's several options and pathways to get into this education platform. So again, just the website's atu.ie/GRASP. The admissions office are taking applications right now, and they're to support. And it's a really wonderful opportunity for learners to progress their career or to upskill or reskill and join this initiative to help with the green skills needed to support the transition to a low carbon economy.
Well, that's it for another episode of Business Matters here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Don't forget, you can hear this again by going to the Highland Radio website. And if you go to the playback section, you can find all previous episodes of Business Matters there. It also goes out as a podcast. If you want to contact the program, simplest way is by email, and you can contact me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com. Until the next time, this is Chris Ashmore wishing you a healthy, happy, and profitable week ahead. Goodbye.
Business Matters is brought to you by Principalize Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Principalize keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support, and remote monitoring. With 21 years in business, Principalize helps save your business time and money. Email sales@principalize.ie to find out more.